It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, everybody, we got a full house on a Friday getting ready for a football weekend. We're light on college basketball, which means we focus on football, the game of the week in the NFL, the rivalry renewed between the Chiefs and the Bills. It's all coming for you as we make some picks. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Friday. Here we go. We are joined now by Paul Savage, by TJ Cleland, by Brandon Zinner. Jad, do we want to hear the receipts this week or should we just skip that?
I imagine TJ wants to hear him.
Let's just skip him. What do you think, Tommy? Let's just skip him.
Well, I mean, it was a bad week for, I think, all of us but TJ.
Yeah, and TJ only really went 4-2, so that's not great.
Oh, but, well, that's not that good, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's making money good.
But you went into second place, TJ, so.
I'm surprised every time I come in here because my wallet does not show that I'm making these picks well, but apparently I'm making these picks well on Fridays, so.
Yeah. Well, you did well, 4-2. Brandon actually broke even last week at 3-3, and everybody else.
How surprised he says, like, hey, he actually broke even.
Well, you are still in last place, unfortunately.
Oh, so,
yeah, sorry about that, Brandon, but still in last place.
And disclaimer: we do not pick the actual games we would bet. I try to select what I think will be the most difficult games to pick. Rarely am I picking any of these, except for the actual Chiefs games with my wallet. All right. Jad, hit the music. We'll start in college football. College football's game of the week is out of the SEC. Tennessee visits Georgia. Georgia, a 9.5-point favorite. TJ, with your week last week, you can lead things off for us this week. Can Tennessee go to Georgia and keep it within 9.5 points?
I think that they can. I would be inclined to say that this might be a 3-point game, and, you know, being watching as much Tennessee football as it has this year, I would be inclined to, you know, maybe pick them, but I'm not going to because it's at Georgia, and that'd be crazy. But, you know, no running back for Georgia there. Tennessee, it really is kind of do or die time. This is going to be a game kind of like the LSU-Alabama game we saw last week of, you know, who's going to be able to keep winning and maybe get into the playoff, and I'm going to pick Tennessee in this one.
Listen, I'll let you take no points if you want to. We're happy to do that.
I don't want that.
No, you'll take the points. Okay. Brandon, you were second last week. You can pick second here. Georgia at home. That's a big number.
It's notable that we don't know if Nico is playing for Tennessee. It sounds like that's going to come down to game time unless that has happened in the last couple hours. But their backup quarterback has been in a Josh Heupel system, guessing more for his entire career, knows as well as anybody. I think they are going to be able to at least keep it within the number. Give me the balls on the road.
All right, 2 for Tennessee. I'll just pick next. I don't know what the order is after them. I'll take Georgia. I'll take Georgia -9.5 at home. Bounce back. Bulldogs lose this game. They're probably not in the playoff. So, you know, this team, desperate, at home. It's a good spot. It's a massive rivalry game. There's a country song right now. TJ could probably educate me. There's a country song right now about somebody wearing Tennessee orange, even to be a Georgia fan?
Megan Maroney, yeah. Good
Megan player. Maroney.
Jacob, nice.
Look at that, Mr. Pop Culture over here. Yeah, but I'm going to take Georgia. -9.5, Tommy.
I agree with you that Georgia is very, very desperate. But here's the thing. Georgia is one of the worst teams in college football against the spread this year. They're 1-7 in covering the spread. Also, Tennessee, they're 3-0 against ranked teams against the spread this season. So even though Georgia's desperate, it's a prime spot for a bounce back at home. The trends, the numbers, all telling me Georgia does a terrible job in covering the spread. They've not done that all season long, so I'll take Tennessee, and I'm going to take the points.
Paul, you've got a chance to give me an island here.
You know something? I just might do that, and here's part of the reason why. Tennessee's good. Tennessee's pretty good. I don't know who Georgia is at times. This is a different Georgia than we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know what it is about them, but there's something that's different about them. 9.5 points. Who the heck came up with 9.5 points? That seems like it should be about a 4.5-point game to me. I'm taking Tennessee. This is almost a silly pick and an easy pick.
A Georgia island. Never thought that would happen. All right, let's go to Kansas State here. They play the earlier game, so we'll start with the Cats. Arizona State comes in. We all know Arizona State's better than we thought they would be. But K-State coming off of that bye, that number is now down to 7.5 when I believe it started at 8.5. I really want to get that at 7. So if you're going to bet this game, you might as well wait. It's headed in the right direction. Maybe you can find it at 7. But the hook is there, Brandon. Are you? What are you doing there? Now at 7.5, where are you going with this one?
The team and all the fans know that this is kind of do or die for K-State. They have to win out and need some help just get to the Big 12 championship. I think if they win out, there's a chance that they backdoor into a playoff if there's some madness ahead of them as well. I think that there's no reason to leave anything on the table the rest of the season. Give me the Cats and the big number.
Paul, what do you think on this one?
You know,
K-State at home, 7.5 points?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's pretty good reasoning by Brandon, and there's a lot on the line. Because there's a lot on the line, K-State still, to some extent, controls its own destiny. Part of that destiny is winning. It doesn't necessarily mean 7.5, but it means winning. And if you're winning, that 7.5 becomes approachable. Jacob, I'd really like it to be 6.5. I'd really like 6.5 instead of 7. But I'll tell you what, K-State's got a lot to play for, and it's going to be a fun place to be in Manhattan on Saturday. I'm taking the Cats.
Yeah, I will too. I don't think it's going to go to 6.5, Paul. It might go to 7, and it might even go back up to where it was too. I'll probably wait to see to actually make the bet for our picks on a Friday. I won't let the hook scare me away. It's K-State playing at home, where they're always really good. It's K-State coming off a bye week. The desperation, yeah, is there too. Avery Johnson's motivation factor this week, I would imagine, is sky high. I'll take it. It's a big number. But I'll take the Cats. TJ, what do you think?
K-State has done a very good job of confusing us on if they're good or not, because they'll come out and they beat Colorado and they come from behind victory. They go put it on Arizona and then they lose at Houston. So nobody really knows, but I think that K-State, historically, at least the past couple of years, plays really well when their backs are against the wall, like Brandon said. They've got a chance to backdoor in, kind of the way that they did for the Big 12 Championship in 2022. They just had to win out and kind of hope a little bit, and it worked out. So I can see the same thing kind of happening here. Arizona State's really scary. Don't know if Cam Scadaboo is even going to play in this game or not. I don't know if that was announced.
That's the other factor.
But Arizona State's really good. It's a scary number, but I'll take K-State as well.
Tommy, it is hard to take Arizona State not knowing about Scadaboo, but you have a chance at an island here. Do you think?
Fellas, a day ago, Kenny Dillingham said that Scadaboo is on track to play. And so I think that's probably why that line has moved from 8.5 to 7.5, and it may even go a little bit less than that once we get, you know, finality that Scadaboo will play, and it does look like that he probably will. I think that Kansas State will win this game, and I don't disagree with all of the reasonings that you guys have given, coming off a bye, back at home, backs against the wall, all of that. If I get a chance at an island, though, with Cam Scadaboo playing in this game and the line is more than a touchdown, I'm going to take Arizona State. I'll take that island. I think Kansas State, I think they could win by a touchdown, and then, you know, Arizona State covers that number. So I'll take Arizona State.
That hook leaves the backdoor cover wide, wide open. All right, let's go to KU, BYU. This one is fascinating. Paul, you can start us. KU, we all know they're playing better. They're good enough to beat any team in the Big 12. Everybody knows that. But can they go to Provo at 9:30 at night and beat that team there?
Well, here's the thing. The day that BYU was admitted into the Big 12 on this radio show, I said, guys, you're going to see this team. It's going to be a dominant team. It's one of those teams that's scary. They love their football. They can recruit nationally very easily. They got a ton of money. This is a very, very good football program. I think it's better than most people think it is. And 2.5 points just doesn't seem like enough to me. Fellas, I'll tell you what. This could be a 14 to 18 point game. I'm taking BYU, and I think it's going to probably be a kind of like a little spanking right here.
You think BYU is going to roll here? Okay,
I Tommy, think they're going to roll.
I mean, look, my biggest worry about Kansas is the fact that they just can't hold leads. They haven't been able to do that all season. They've been in position in basically every single game they played in where they've had to hold on to a lead. They finally did against Iowa State last week, but that lead got pretty large, and that was, you know, ultimately the only reason why they were able to hang on, because it was too big of a hole for Iowa State to crawl out of. I hate this line. I really, really, really hate this line. I'm going to take BYU. I'm going to lay the points at home in Provo. You know, I think KU can keep it relatively close, but probably not that close. So I'll take the Cougars.
All right. There's two for BYU. Brandon.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Where are you at with KU in this one?
I honestly don't know if I picked a single KU game right on the show all season long. And everything tells me it's BYU, which I guess that means tells me I have to go give me Kansas. This would be the most Kansas thing, especially with the season, for them to go on the road. They don't even have to win. They just got to go lose by two or less. It'd be a very Jayhawk thing to do. They're still alive for the Big 12 championship, I believe, which would that's not going to happen. But
Good Lord. There is a chaos scenario where Kansas is still alive. TJ was trying to explain it to me yesterday. Obviously, it includes them winning this game, TJ, in Provo. I know you root for these kinds of chaos scenarios. Are you going to just for that reason say KU can keep it alive?
As much as I'd love to, I've got pride on the line to finish in second place behind Paul Savage here, so I got to pick with some integrity and not pick with my heart, all right? If this game was played at any other time except for midnight in Provo, whenever all the weird things happen, if it was at noon, 3 o'clock, I'd pick KU, but the fact that it's going to be just dark as all get out, mountains in your face. It's going to be the same thing that happened to K-State, I think. Things get weird after 9 p.m. in Provo, Utah. So give me the Cougars.
I want to take Kansas, I want to take Kansas, so I probably will for only that reason, because I don't want to miss out on if they do this. I want to be able to be in on that. It's just like if Kansas is this team that just finds a way to lose every game at the end, like this is the most lose a game at the very end sight right now in the Big 12. But we'll go against it. I think they're playing better. I think they'll be able to score on BYU. It's can they, you know, prevent the mistakes? I don't know. There's no good reason for it, but I'll take Kansas just because I think they're talented enough to win that game. And we'll see if they can buck the trend. All right. Let's go to the NFL here. Ravens, Steelers. Love this game. Steelers getting 3 points at home, Tommy. You gonna ride with Russell Wilson here and the Steelers take those points?
No, I'm not. And I know Lamar has historically struggled against the Steelers. And these divisional matchups are always weird, especially when this game is being played in Pittsburgh. I just think this time around, the Ravens have so much more firepower. The biggest question is going to be, can Baltimore's defense hold up against Pittsburgh? And I think that they can. And I think that they obviously should. So I'm going to take the Ravens. I think that between Lamar, between Derrick Henry and all of that, I've got more faith in them offensively. I think that they can figure out a way this time around to get through what the Steelers are going to throw at them defensively. So I'll take the Ravens and I'll lay the points.
Well, let's ride. I'm going to ride with Russ. You guys know I'm big on the Steelers. I think it's become almost a perfect fit for this team and what they do well. They have the big-time receiver to attack that Ravens secondary. I don't know if Hamilton's going to play again. And, you know, they can get after the quarterback. So I'll take the Steelers here. They're getting 3 points at home as much as anything else for me. 3 points at home for a team that I think is in a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I'll take it. Paul, what do you think?
You know, this is a tough game. This is the toughest game for me to pick of the six games we have. I'm really torn. On one hand, you got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and on the other hand, you got Mike Tomlin. Where do you go? Do you go coaching? Do you go players? Lamar Jackson might be the MVP. Might be. I didn't say he would be. I said he might be. But, you know, my heart says to take the Ravens, but you know my head says defense wins championships. I'm taking the Steelers.
TJ, Steelers are on a heater right now. What do you think in this one? It is historically leaned Steelers when Lamar Jackson has played in these games, but man, he's playing out of his mind right now.
I just want to say this is my first time making picks in the actual studio. I'm appalled that Paul actually brings notes in for this based on the way that he makes these picks.
What?
I wonder how long he takes making this little note card.
That's ridiculous.
All right, back to this game. The Steelers, I think it's the fantasy football player in me because I still have no idea how they've been so good. It's because they have no fantasy value in any of their players, really. You don't draft Steelers players. But they keep finding a way to win games, and I think that I've picked against them every single week, and I think I've gotten them wrong every single week. So, tied terms today. Give me the Steelers.
All right. Brandon, that means Tommy has a chance for a Ravens Island if you give it to him.
I will give it to him. The wow. Steelers as home underdogs. How well they are playing. I wanted the KU Island. I didn't get it. I'll give Tommy the Aztecs.
Let's go.
Getting an island. But yeah, I just really like what the Steelers team is doing. Baltimore getting extra time to prepare off that Thursday night game does scare me a little bit. They're going to be a little bit rested up, but that was an extra brutal game. I like where the Steelers team is at. Give me Pittsburgh.
I've never seen Tommy smile that much in one segment ever doing shows with you.
I've got myself an Arizona State Island. I've got myself a Baltimore Island. It's been good so far.
Wow.
This can go sideways on you real quick. If Ravens Steelers isn't your game of the week, Bills Chiefs certainly is. Chiefs go on the road. Bills 2.5-point favorites at home. I think I haven't gone first, so I will. I've been on the fence with this one big time. Harrison Butker being out, guys, is going to make me take the Bills here. Chiefs play a lot of close games. Now they don't have that weapon. Here's what I'll predict for you, and I'll take the Bills, and I'll lay the points. Bills will win this game, and then the Chiefs will beat them in the playoffs. Rinse, wash, repeat from the last few years. But I do think right now, until I see Wanye Morris fully healthy, I think there's a real good chance Kingsley Suamataia has to have snaps in this game. And that could be a disaster for the Chiefs again, like it was against the Broncos. Buffalo's hot. I don't like it. I don't like betting against Mahomes as an underdog. I know how that goes. I know all those trends. But I'll take the Bills this week. I think they'll meet again in the postseason and the Chiefs will get them. But no Butker. Give me the Bills. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm kind of where you are at with this one. I mean, just there's a lot of things pointing down for the Chiefs in this moment. It's the wrong time for things to be pointing down when you're going up to Buffalo. Buffalo, this is their Super Bowl because they're probably not going to get they're not going to get a home game against the Chiefs in the playoffs in all likelihood. So, yeah, give me Buffalo to win the November, what is it going to be, November 18th Super Bowl in Buffalo.
Yeah, TJ, the trend has been Buffalo to win the regular season games and the Chiefs to win the postseason games. It's been happening now for about 5 years. Do you continue that trend, or are you taking the other trend, which is Mahomes is an underdog, never loses?
Jacob, you're cracking me up with the Harrison Butker reasoning, because you act like Harrison Butker got injured and they picked up the kicker from the Clearwater Indians or something. They've got an
hey,
NFL
that's my
kicker
alma mater.
On
be a little sorry, nice about that. Come on.
I think the Chiefs are going to be able to do this on the road. Just, you know, historically speaking, Chiefs as underdogs. You got to take them every single time. It's like when you play blackjack, you got to play by the book and you take the Chiefs as underdogs every single time.
You would play by the book. Who plays by the book? Play by the book guy at the blackjack table. That's disgusting. Paul, you don't play by the book. You don't play by anybody's book. You got your own book.
Yeah, I can't even read. How can I use a book? So, but with that being said, how many times, help me out, guys. How many times have the Chiefs been the dog on our picks?
This is the second time this year.
The Niners game was the other one.
Okay. Yep. Well, I mean, you know, this is a team that's still undefeated. Am I right or wrong on that,
right.
TJ?
You're correct.
I think I'm right on that. You know, you've got an undefeated team getting points. It's on the road. I get it. The Bills are a good team. I get it. But you want to know something? You're giving the standing champions points. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Tommy, break the tie. I know where you're going to go. You love the Mahomes underdog trend probably more than anybody, but it's concerning. It's going to be a good game. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to throw out a number at you. 12-1-1. That is Patrick Mahomes against the spread as an underdog in his career. 12-1-1. You can throw whatever kind of logic you want at, you know, with Harrison Butker and the Bills are improving, like all these different things, and it's all true and well and good. Offensive line, everything, whatever. Give me Patrick Mahomes as an underdog against the spread. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the regular season games against the Bills that they've lost and see if they've ever, if those are any of the games they've been the underdog. Look, to me, it's the left tackle issue. That's the issue more than Butker. Butker's a factor, maybe the deciding factor that took me on the fence, but I was already on the fence because I need to see if Wanya Morris can finish a game. Like, if he can't finish the game, I think the Chiefs are in real trouble. And his injuries, apparently, according to Andy Reid this week, going to be one that's just kind of there all year long. We do have one more. This should be an entertaining game. The Bengals against the Chargers at the Chargers. Chargers, a 1.5-point favorite at home. Paul, you can start us off in this one. The Bengals have their backs against the wall. The Chargers are one of the surprise teams in the NFL this year. How do you have this one going?
You know, this is a tough game, but I'll tell you what. The Bengals, guys, is there a team that's been more disappointing to you guys maybe? The Bengals would be one of them, probably. I mean, if you're an NFL fan. I've been disappointed in the Bengals. I've taken them several times. Guys, they've cost me a couple of games. I'm telling you. I'm not confident that the Bengals can play a game good enough to beat a team like the Chargers on the road. I'm going to take the Chargers just because I have no confidence in the Bengals at this moment.
Oh, Tommy, I know. Can the Bengals win a game like this? I mean, we know their talent level is there. They're underdogs here in LA. 1.5 points. How do you have this one?
Look, I've been just as disappointed as Paul has been in the Bengals. I think that they have way underachieved with the kind of talent they have. But I've said it multiple times before that it's difficult when you've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and that's basically it. It's going to be a tough task for the Bengals because the Chargers defense, especially in the secondary, has been really good this year. But that being said, I've watched what Ja'Marr Chase especially has done the last couple of weeks. I've had him on a couple of my fantasy teams, which has been pretty fantastic. For that reason, I'm going to go ahead and I'll take the Bengals in this matchup. I think that they've got that opportunity to get the monkey off their back.
I love this game, TJ, because it's almost like, do you buy that the Bengals are this bad, or do you buy that the Chargers are this good, and you have this collision in it? I think this is the hardest game for us to pick this week. by the way.
Yeah,
where are you at with this one?
You definitely said it right there, because I was going to say that my mind is telling me that I should not pick the Chargers, but somehow they just keep getting it done. And my mind tells me I should pick the Bengals, but they somehow just keep not getting it done. So we'll go with the history of this season, and I'll just go with the Chargers to get it done at home. However it is that they keep doing it, but I think that they do it one more time this week.
This very much, Brandon, parallels our KU-BYU conundrum, right? KU's talented enough, but they got to go to this place against a team who just isn't making mistakes and finding ways to win. You could insert Cincinnati and the Chargers right into that same conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, just when you look at who the Chargers have beaten, I mean, it's Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew. They haven't beaten anybody. But unfortunately for Tommy, Jamar Chase fantasy stats aren't winning them games. Even he had 260 yards last week, and they lost it, but it was, they only lost by one. So I guess kudos to the Bengals. But I just need the Chargers to get it done against a small number at home. Not much faith in it, but give me the Chargers.
My pride won't let me retire on the Bengals yet until they're officially eliminated. So I have to take the Bengals. I feel like I'm obligated to take the Bengals. I do think it's a decent matchup for them, but you know, they've had Joe, you know, for his career now, Joe Burrow, right, is throwing from his back essentially, and the Chargers can bring it on a pass rush. That'll be the thing. If the Bengals really struggle in this game, that'll be why. And that's highly possible that they just, their offensive line is dominated, but I'll take the Bengals. You know, their season's on the line here, but I don't feel good about it. I think that's absolutely the hardest game to pick, and I think it'll be a really fun game to watch this weekend. That's six games. That's three college. That's three pro. We pick the difficult ones. Hopefully everybody can make some money this weekend. It should be fun. Great games in college. Great games in the NFL. We'll turn Brandon loose, hopefully, to get a little golf in, Brandon. And, you know, a little Friday tradition there. I will do that. We're going to keep TJ for a minute to go over some Catch It Kansas action. It is a Catch It Kansas Friday. It is the postseason. TJ will get us caught up on everything going there tonight for the third round of the high school football playoffs. We'll have more for you on Sports Daily as we roll forward on a Friday. Back in, everybody. It is a Catch a Kansas Friday, and it is the high school football playoffs, and we've got TJ Cleland in, who's got everything apprised at Catch a Kansas for us over there at catchakansas.com and KWCH12. Paul Savage's Wichita East Blue Aces get a tough test on the road at Derby tonight. We can get into that one. And all of these others, of course, you can go to the Catch a Kansas app, check the scoreboard, check the stories. It's all there for you. TJ, we enter this portion of the schedule, this portion of the postseason, and all of those, you know, potential blowout type games and matchups kind of go out the window at this point. This is where it really starts to get good pretty much across the board, right?
Yeah, every single game is going to be pretty good tonight. You know, this is where it gets tough for us picking a game of the week, because there's about seven games of the weeks that we would pick in a normal week. So everything is going to be good tonight, basically.
I was just going to say, I'm really looking forward to, I know you kind of mentioned it, but obviously East and Derby, and, you know, Paul's got, you know, some knowledge, I'm sure, on that game, but that's definitely, you know, at least in this area, one of, if not the top games of the week.
Yeah. You know, Derby hasn't really been tested all year long. They've just kind of beaten the crap out of every single team that they've played. East is a team that's playing really good football right now. They go to Dodge City last week, a team that beat them a couple of weeks ago and was able to pull off a comeback win. Am I right? You guys were down.
Yeah, down. One with 10 seconds left, the winning touchdown with 10 seconds left on the clock. It was one of those things where defense played pretty well, in fact. And I'm the D-line coach, so, you know, our D-lines, I enjoy coaching those. There's a great bunch of kids. I've enjoyed coaching them all year long, another year. By the way, guys, here's an interesting thing. We've been getting calls all week. I don't know how many college coaches are going to be there, but we're getting calls, you know, from college coaches saying, well, we're going to be at that game. And TJ, why wouldn't you? I'm telling you right now, Derby's got at least five or six. Mm-hmm. I know they say four. I think there might be five or six Division I type kids on that football team, all the way from linemen to skill kids. We've got at least a couple. And why wouldn't a college scout want to be at that game? But there's going to be a ton of them on the sidelines watching. Everybody wants to see this game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it has the potential to be one really physical football game up front. Our D-line against their O-line, our O-line against their D-line. I think this game is going to be won. Here's a shocker. The game's going to be won in the trenches. Now, that shocks you, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. It's interesting. You know, you talk about whenever East played Northwest, that was a game everybody went in, and they're like, there's going to be 100 points scored in this game. These offenses are off the rails. And then they were both so good, the score was, what, 6-3 or something?
It was 14, only two touchdowns were scored. Yeah. And those were in the fourth quarter, if I'm not – was one a third quarter? No, I think they were both late in the game. Two touchdowns scored in the whole game. And so that's an amazing. So I think this has the potential tonight, really and truly, TJ, of being a defensive battle. If both defenses play as good as they're capable of playing, it's going to be a close game, and it's going to be a tight game, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. It could be under 25 points for both teams.
Wow. In the other 6A game, TJ, we have a shot at revenge for Wichita Northwest. That was a road game at Manhattan that they lost earlier in the season. Well, they got to go right back up there now and play them in the playoffs. Is this a situation where Northwest can turn the tides and have a different outcome?
Yeah, that's another game. You know, whenever you look at the games that are left in 5A and 6A, there's going to be a lot of Division I talent. Manhattan's got a guy, J.J. Duggan, I think is his name, something like that. He's getting a bunch of offers all over the board, and he kind of just makes everything go up in Manhattan. Northwest is, you know, kind of just rolled through everybody as well. You know, they've been tested quite a bit, and they've shown that they can win tight games. They weren't able to get it done there, but now that they've seen what their best shot is, you know, they kind of know what it is going back up there. It's going to be a really, really fun game up there, yeah, because Northwest is a really talented football team, and to beat them twice is really hard.
Yeah.
Let's jump all the way down to 3A, TJ. It's the rematch of all rematches, Andale and Cheney. I think everybody is a little disappointed that this isn't later in the playoffs, and we get it tonight. But still, I mean, just going back to a season ago when Cheney had Andale's number, but Andale this year, correct me if I'm wrong, but Andale beat Cheney earlier this year, right?
They haven't played yet.
I thought they had. Okay, this will be the biggest, mm-hmm. obviously, rematch from last season. What do you expect in this game? I mean, I feel like Andale has gotten themselves back on track this season. It's going to be a heavyweight matchup regardless, though.
Yeah, I think Keisha may have been playing some matchmaker, making us wait till the playoffs to see this again or something like that. The district's changed this year. I don't know what it was. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, going into last year, I remember I was at both of the games when Cheney beat Andale, and we were doing our picks, and I sat there and I was like, there's no chance you can get me to pick anybody except for Andale ever in my entire life, and got embarrassed, and I think the Cheney parents let me hear about it as well. They had some words to say to me about that one, because they beat them twice, and it was unheard of until last year. They're the only team to have beat Andale since 2018, and nobody else has done it. Some teams have gotten close, but not really. I think Wellington was the only team that played Andale within a touchdown this year. Everybody else has gotten the heck beat out of them.
I'm going to make a comment. You can say whether I'm right or wrong. This is the only game on the schedule tonight, at least on this side of the state. I don't know about the other side of the state, but on this side of the state, the championship game is being played tonight in 3A. Yep. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, but that's what I really think. Cheney, by the way, in coaching circles, is considered one of the best coach teams in the state. I really and truly. They do things right. Their techniques, they do right. They do a lot of things very well with their kids. But I think tonight's game, Andale, Cheney, is the state championship game. Am I wrong?
It's really interesting because we talked about between Andale, Cheney, Collegiate, and Pratt, you were going to get a matchup of two of those four teams in this round.
That's right.
And I was home this past weekend talking to all the people around Frontenac and Girard on the east side of the state in Class 3A, talking about, you know, Frontenac was undefeated, hoping to get to that state championship game. And I was like, guys, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if you get to the state championship game, because it's going to be a West Side team. They're all so good this year.
Yeah.
You mentioned Wellington playing Andale. They've been a team, like, I've been a little further back from it than I normally am this year for the first time in two decades. But Wellington seems like a surprise team, but they've been really good. They go to Andover Central. That 4A matchup is pretty interesting. What are we looking at there?
Yeah, Wellington's a team that, you know, they kind of had some down years. Last year made a little bit of a playoff run under the new coach and everything like that, and kind of showed who they can be. This year they come out, they lose to Collegiate by 3, they lose to Andale by 4, and they haven't lost since, and they really haven't gotten tested that much since. They beat Capen last week, and they're just a really, really fun team to watch. Their quarterback, Dusty Bannister, they got a wide receiver, Carter Burnett, and they can throw the heck out of the football. They can throw it with with anybody, honestly. I'd put them against 6A schools, throwing the football with those two at least. Wow. They're a really good tandem that they have there. Andover Central, early in the season, whenever we were coming in, we regarded them as maybe a top four team in the entire city. They slipped. They fell to Goddard. That's the only loss that they have this year. They do a lot of things really well. They have talent all over the ball and bring back pretty much an entire state championship berth team from last year. It's going to be a really, really good one. That might be my second or third favorite on the docket tonight, because I really like Wellington, but going to Andover Central and trying to beat a team that made it that far last year is going to be really hard.
Looking at 5A, TJ, Hutchinson plays at home tonight against Hayes. That looks to be a matchup where, obviously we know what Hutchinson has done this year. And knowing, the competition that Hayes has played also to get to this point, I'm really looking forward to that matchup too.
Yeah, Hayes is so intriguing, because I remember we talked 2 weeks ago whenever they played against Andover. They were 4-4, I believe, or something like that. And their losses were to Manhattan, Derby, Great Bend, in a last-second thing against Liberal. And so it's like they may be the best four-loss team that you can find in the entire state. And then they go on the road. They beat Andover. They go on the road to Great Bend, a team that beat them in the rain and beat the number one team in Class 5A. So that shows you how tough of a regular season that they had. And it's kind of, showing that it's working in the playoffs. And as a coach, you never know if that's going to work or not. But paying off for Tony Crow out there. Coming to Hutch tonight. Hutch is a team that I think that through their first three games, they didn't allow a point after the Derby game, or three-game span. They didn't allow a point or something like that. They just kept shutting teams out, and they just find a way to kind of grit out these wins. When you look at them, Terrell King's a stud, and then the rest of these guys, they just work so well as a unit. They've been playing football together for so long that they can really just kind of scheme you and beat you and just kind of grit their way into these wins. It'll be a really, really fun one tonight, because both of these teams kind of play the exact same way. And Hayes putting some mileage on their buses, by the way. They're going all over the state.
Let's go one more, TJ, for our friends out in Goddard. Ike, really their only losses have been to teams that are still playing in this round. So they get a team like Topeka Seaman, who looked really impressive, I know, last week when I was in there for you. But, what kind of state contender do we think Ike is at this point?
Ike's really, really good. They got a Division I quarterback and a Division I wide receiver. I think that Carter Paft, he has the most touchdowns in state history, if I believe, receiving touchdowns in state history now. He broke that mark. That tells you how good he is. Pick Seaman, a really good team. We don't watch them that much, but I hear about it all the time from our friends up there at WIBW and everything like that. They're going to be tested, as you said. Every team that they've lost to is still playing, and I can see Eisenhower. Now that Great Bend's out of the picture, especially, no disrespect to Hayes or anybody else on the bracket, but this may be Eisenhower's 5A West to lose at this point. I'll put that out there. I don't know who's going to beat them this far, and they're a really good team. I can see them making a trip to Emporia. I think it's Emporia this year. Usually it's Pittsburgh. Emporia.
Are you a little surprised that there isn't at this point three City League championships going into this round? That through the regionals last week, two City League teams advanced out. Are you a little surprised at that? Or did you expect there to be three teams at this point?
Three City League teams that are still going? Yeah, it was kind of a weird year in the City League. Obviously, East and Northwest are teams that we kind of really expected to be good. Other than that, it was kind of teams beating up on each other a little bit underneath Northwest and East. So a really bit of an odd year, obviously, with Bishop Carroll and Capen. They lost a ton of stuff over the last 2 years. Capen went to a state championship last year, lost a lot of their production, but Weston Sharks is such a good coach that it didn't really show that they lost that much production. Now that you get to this point in the playoffs and you're playing really, really good teams like Wellington that they played, your flaws are going to start showing, and I think that it showed a little bit last week is the reason that we're not seeing Capen playing into this round. But no disrespect to them, because they lost to a really good Wellington team.
That's it. There's more games than that, by the way, down into the smaller schools, and you can find it all at catchatkansas.com and on 12 News tonight and on 12 News Connected, where you watch this show right here. TJ, when does it all start?
We got Rachel Hallam going live in Cheney for the game of the week rematch of rematches. I think there was 6,000 people at the game last year.
Goodness gracious.
Shoulder to shoulder around the fences. I bet that's going to be the case again tonight in Andale. Andale hasn't lost in 12 years, something like that, at home, something like that. So going to be a really interesting storyline out there as well. She'll start at 4:30, go live out there, leading up to our 12 News kickoff show on 12 News Plus Connected, where you're watching this one, and then Catch It Kansas show 10:35 tonight.
Right there's how I find them, how I know everything, right there, Catch It Kansas.
Paul's got that Catch It Kansas app. It's a luxury, honestly, for the listeners to have that sort of resource at the palm of your hand for high school sports. So good luck tonight with the coverage, TJ. We'll let you go fill out some more paperwork. TJ and Brandon going to mix in, become a bigger part of the Sports Daily family. We're excited about that as we make our way through this fall season into a busy winter coming up. Paul, Tommy, myself, we'll come back. We'll get the latest on the Chiefs. We sort of covered it in the picks there, but some interesting injury news for them. We're coming right back. We'll wrap up a busy Friday edition of Sports Daily when we return on KFH. Right, giveaway number two here on this Friday. Let's give some Cody Jinks tickets away. Cody Jinks, Change the Game Tour, comes to Interest Bank Arena on Saturday, November 23rd. Special guest Jason Boland and the Stragglers. Last chance at a pair of tickets. Text Cody, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. That contest ends, well, in about 13 minutes. It ends at 11 o'clock. Your last chance to win Cody Jinks tickets. A pair of them comes basically right now. Enter Cody 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Glad to be able to send some folks off to that concert. I think it's going to be awesome. He's got some songs I really, really like. So good luck there. We're happy to send you here on Sports Daily and KFH. All right, fellas, the Chiefs and the Bills. It's lining up to be another epic contest. Really surprising news yesterday with Harrison Butker. So, you know, as we watch this, the Chiefs won't have Harrison Butker, are not expected to have either of Amenihue or Pacheco. They won't. And might have, I'd say, likely would have Juju Smith-Schuster. It's going to be a tough game. Even if they had all of those guys, Buffalo's playing well. It just feels to me like the spot where all of this good fortune might get away from them. I don't know, though. I mean, it is Mahomes as an underdog. I would say, Tommy, that the Chiefs need to come out and really run the ball a ton. But if they get Juju back with DeAndre Hopkins, that's kind of, you know, that quick, having both of those, that gives you three options for a quick strike offense, which would help if your left tackle is struggling. So, you know, maybe getting Juju back is something we haven't thought enough about.
Yeah, I think that that's a huge component of this game. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday about how, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if there continues to be offensive line issues, especially at left tackle, he's going to have to get the ball out very quickly. I don't think that we're going to see, at least right now, with Wanye Morris, even if he does play, probably not being 100%. I don't think we're going to see a lot of opportunities for Patrick Mahomes to be able to wait in the pocket for a long time and throw deep to whether it's Hopkins or Worthy. I just don't think that that's going to be on the table a whole heck of a lot in this game on Sunday. So you're going to need quick hitters, and that's where Travis Kelce comes to play, and that's where Juju Smith-Schuster comes to play as well.
Paul, if you're a defensive coach for the Bills right now, what does it mean to have three options for routes that are, you know, underneath type routes or quick hitter type routes? The Chiefs, they have three very qualified guys now for that particular type of play. They need it, but is that hard to defend? I would assume they would try to press to prevent that, right? Like, what do they do to try and counter?
Well, let me just phrase it like this, if you don't mind, Jacob. You bring up the safeties and you start taking those routes away. What happens to the deep third, the deep middle third, the other two thirds? I mean, all of a sudden that opens up to a little deeper pass. And that's so there's part of your poison. What do you defend? Well, I would say if it was me, keep the ball in front of you. Just keep the ball in front of you. Don't let the ball behind you. And that's kind of the way I would look at it. This is going to be, and I've got a feeling, this is going to be a close game. But I've got a feeling whoever wins this game, when we go back and we look at the stats, we're going to say, who had the most possession time? And you want to know something, Jacob? And Tommy, that team that wins might be the team that possesses the ball the most and keeps the ball out of the hands of the other team. Both teams are capable of scoring. Both teams have great quarterbacks. Both teams are capable of dominating a lot of NFL teams. I'm just saying the team that possesses the ball and keeps the ball out of the other team's hands will have the best chance of
winning. I think to your point, Paul, I mean, I think that that's spot on, because the Bills, with the, you know, the strikes that they can do and the explosiveness offensively, I think they're going to want a high-scoring game. Kansas City's going to want to keep the score, I think, lower.
That's right.
And they're going to want to lean on Kareem Hunt and have long, sustained drives and that sort of thing, with quick hitting passes to kind of supplement that. So I think you're spot on with that.
And it makes you not have to, you know, worry about your left tackle as much. Yeah. I think Buffalo would like to run the ball too, by the way, to Paul's point. Like, I think if they have their way, Josh Allen will run it a lot. And they've got a couple of talented backs in James Cook, and they got a rookie in Ray Davis that they really like. So 46 points, Vegas doesn't, you know, it's not a low total, but it's probably not as high a total as we'd typically see in this game. I think Vegas is sort of on that line too. This could be very much a ball control, who makes fewer mistakes, right? Kind of game.
Right. Yep.
And I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think this is an opportunity as much as anything else, and we haven't talked about this in a number of weeks. They flexed last week. I think this is a great opportunity for the Chiefs defense to really flex down and say, don't forget we're one of the best units in football here. This is a really big chance for them to be able to step up and do something like that too.
And really quick, just watch what, you know, the Chiefs will do as far as limiting James Cook. You mentioned that they're going to want to run the ball with Josh Allen, but they're going to need James Cook to do that too. The Chiefs' storyline all season long is how they limit lead backs. They've done it basically the entire season. This will be another test. You know, if they can stop James Cook, especially on first downs, and force the Bills into passing situations, that's going to benefit, I think, Kansas City a ton.
Oh, man, I can't wait for it. And now special teams is a factor too with the Harrison Butker injury. All right. We're going to come back. It is a busy weekend, as it always is on the network. We'll get you all caught up on that as Sports Daily wraps up right after this.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.